At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The company you keep, it certainly matters. Your mother may have told you that. Someone in your past may have said, you know, you don't want to be judged by those friends of yours. They're from the other side of the tracks, so they might get you in trouble. Russell Lafitte didn't learn that. You could say the fall began with a signature, not a scream, not a shot, not a smoking gun, just a name on a loan, a check cashed too easily, a form filed in trust and file filled with lies. That's the tragedy of Russell Lafitte. Not that he cracked under pressure, but that he didn't have to be pushed all that hard. On September 29th of 2025, inside a Charleston federal courtroom, the former CEO of Palmetto State Bank stood quietly as the judge sentenced him to 5 years in federal prison. He was once a rising star in the Lowcountry banking world. Independent Banker of the Year in 2019, in fact. The scion of a family whose name carried weight across Hampton County. The man whose signature, for decades, unlocked money, houses, opportunities for others, and for himself. But today, that same signature was the closing argument. Evidence of every choice he'd made, every deal he didn't just enable, but engineered. Lafitte, now 54, has already served 13 months in federal custody after being convicted in 2022 on 6 counts of bank fraud, wire fraud, conspiracy, and misapplication of funds, you know, like you look for in your local community banker. But an appellate court vacated that conviction in 2024, citing a mishandled juror substitution. He could have fought it, could have taken a second swing at clearing his name. Instead, he pled guilty. And for that, we'll give him some credit. That alone tells you something. Because unlike Alec Murdaugh, whose crimes bled into every headline and courtroom, Lafitte's were quieter, drier almost. The kind of crimes people talk about over spreadsheets and settlement statements, not body cams and bloodstains. But they're no less devastating. According to federal prosecutors, Lafitte used his power as CEO of Palmetto State Bank, not to protect the people who trusted him, but to protect Alec, to feed his schemes, to float his debts, and to keep the good old boy machine running just like a little bit longer, like we do here in the Lowcountry, even as the wheels were already flying off. And I'm not trying to insult the Lowcountry. I know that kind of came across that way. I vacationed there this summer. Lovely place. I freaking loved it. It is beautiful. Charleston, Savannah, Hilton Head, my goodness. What a lovely place to live. Yeah, I mean, seriously, I was like, if I had a do-over again in another place to go find a spot, that's a great area. It's a shame you have to spend the next 5 years behind bars. The details are meticulous. Lafitte served as a conservator and personal representative for multiple clients Murdaugh brought him, often vulnerable individuals or minors who had received large legal settlements. Those settlements were supposed to be held in trust. Instead, Lafitte treated them kind of like a private slush fund. He made at least 16 unauthorized loans. The recipients, himself and Alec Murdaugh. He moved checks written for clients directly into bank accounts that benefited Alec, hiding the paper trail with memo lines and misleading documentation. One of those clients was Hakeem Pinckney, a deaf man, rendered quadriplegic in a catastrophic accident. Yeah, robbing from him. Another was Hannah Plyer, who lost her mother and brother in a car crash when she was just a child. Their settlement money? Lifelines meant to provide care, therapy, security, education? Was drained in the service of Murdaugh's mounting desperation. And Lafitte was the banker who kept the train running. It wasn't just that he let it happen. It's that he made it possible. In one instance, Lafitte approved a $750,000 beach house renovation loan. Money that never touched a hammer or a saw. Instead, nearly half of it went to cover Murdaugh's overdrawn accounts. Another $680,000 in bank fraud was quietly sent to Murdaugh's law firm in October 21, right around the time the walls started closing in. This wasn't a man swept up in something too big to control. This was a man making choices, deliberate, sustained, profitable ones. He earned over $110,000 in fiduciary fees for his role as conservator and PR. And when the payments came in, he made sure the checks didn't bear his name, often having them written to the bank itself, then routing them internally. It's not a mistake. That is a playbook. So why did he do it? That's an uncomfortable question. At the very heart of this story, was Russell Lafitte fundamentally a dishonest man, or was he drawn into orbit by someone more charismatic, more manipulative, more powerful? Was he a fraudster in his own right, or just another casualty of proximity to Alec Murdaugh? His defense team leaned hard into that narrative during his original trial. They said he was used, deceived, that Alec had a way of bending people, that even smart, seasoned professionals couldn't see past the performance. And sure, Murdaugh could be persuasive, charming even. For decades, he had his last name opening doors across the Lowcountry. He wore the legacy of a dynasty, three generations of prosecutors in a place where the law often felt like a family business. But the facts don't support the dupe defense. Not anymore. In his 2025 plea agreement, Lafitte explicitly admitted that he knew what he was doing, that he was aware the funds belonged to injured clients and minors, that he structured transactions to avoid triggering oversight, that he failed to file suspicious activity reports when he should have. That he wasn't just along for the ride, he was behind the wheel for a large part of it, as the getaway driver. That doesn't absolve you of anything, whether you now regret it or not. That admission guts the illusion of innocence, and it forces us to wrestle with a deeper truth. Sometimes the people enabling the worst crimes look nothing like villains. They wear ties. They go to the Rotary Club. They chair boards. They don't snap. They erode. In many ways, that's what makes his story so devastating. It's not just the theft, it's the betrayal, the quiet, calculated way someone in a position of immense trust decided that the rules didn't apply when friendship or power was on the line. And that betrayal doesn't stop at Russell Lafitte. He's just one part of the infrastructure that allowed Alec Murdaugh to keep the illusion going far longer than he should have. Another was Corey Fleming, the attorney friend who helped steal from the Satterfield family. He's serving 46 months federal plus 10 years state. Together, these weren't just isolated enablers. They were a system, a network, a closed loop of privilege, proximity, and self-interest. What you see in the Murdaugh saga again and again is how deep that loop ran, how long it took for accountability to crack through, and how many people had to be hurt financially, emotionally, sometimes fatally, before the music finally stopped. Russell Lafitte may not have pulled any triggers, but he helped keep the lights on, and not in a cheeky Tom Baudet sort of way. He helped keep the money moving, and in doing so, he made the destruction ever too possible. The state of South Carolina hasn't finished with him yet. On September 25th, 2025, just days before his federal sentencing, Lafitte pled guilty to 8 state charges, including criminal conspiracy and breach of trust. He's scheduled to be sentenced on those charges in mid-October. The state has agreed to conduct a concurrent eight-year sentence, which would effectively run alongside his federal time. And if early projections hold, that could mean that he might be out as soon as May of 2027. Whether that feels like justice probably depends on which side of the checkbook you were on. Let's be honest, there was really only one other person on the other side of the checkbook, Alec Murdaugh. But here's what we do know. Lafitte has already paid back over $3.5 million in restitution. And victims like the Plyer sisters and the Pinicky family, while irreparably harmed, have at least seen acknowledgement of the wrongs done to them. There's no dramatic courtroom moment to end this chapter. There's no shocking confession. Just a banker in a suit standing before a judge accepting that what he did can't be undone. Not by money, not by apologies, not by blaming someone more famous. The deeper truth here is quieter and more insidious. Evil doesn't always announce itself with blood and violence. Sometimes it slips through the side door, wearing a blazer, shaking your hand. Would you like some popcorn? We got hot dogs in the parking lot. Soft drinks. Come on out. Sometimes it signs alone. In a boardroom. Sometimes it smiles and says it's helping. Russell Lafitte made his choices, and in the end, the story wasn't about the friend he kept. It was about the man he chose to be. And that's how this chapter of the Murdaugh saga ends. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search us, find us on YouTube. Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. That's where we are. And you can do that same search wherever you get podcasts in case you're currently watching us and you'd like to listen to us on the go. We're everywhere. You get podcasts, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to take us along with you. All right. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.